Senator Fletcher. You come free.
Amen. Well, it's a joy to be back again tonight and thank God for the meeting thus far. And I trust that the Lord has helped you and blessed you in some way through something we've said. And I trust that the Lord will help us tonight. I appreciate the good fellowship we've had already. And just thank God for allowing us to come this way. And so you pray for us the remainder of the week. And Lord willing, unless something comes up that I don't foresee, my family will be here with me Friday night to sing a little bit. And so I appreciate some of you that asked about our music out there. Have a few CDs out there. And all the CDs have songs that I've written down through the years on them. And so if you... so inclined, you can see us about those, and I trust they'll be a blessing to you. If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to the book of Psalm, chapter number 34. Psalm chapter 34, and I want to give you this thought tonight and hope that I can be a help to you from the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 34, and I want to start reading in verse number 4. Psalm chapter 34. And verse number 4, the psalmist David is writing here. David, of course, was a man after God's own heart. But David was also a man that knew what it was to face troubles in life, to face trials in life. David knew what it was to be broken in life. And David writing here, he speaks to the very condition that all of us will experience at points in our life. And David said in verse number 4, he said this, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Verse 15, please. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and I ask you, God, that you would help us tonight now in this place. Lord, that we might honor you with our words tonight, and Lord, the things that we'll bring in the message. I pray, God, that may you find a lodging place in the hearts of your people. Lord, encourage the children of God that are here tonight. And Lord, no matter what condition they are in life, I pray, God, would you use your word to help us, build us up, and strengthen us tonight here in this place. And Father, thank you for what you've already done in the meeting. And we trust you now, Lord, to help us the remainder of the meeting. And Lord, we'll give you praise and honor and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it, amen and amen. I appreciate being here tonight. I thought about here in the Word of God, you find David is writing, and there's several things that David talks about here that is common to all of us as human beings on this planet. David, in verse number 4, he said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Every one of us know what it is to have fears in our life. There may be something here tonight that is a fear in your life. You may fear something looming on the horizon that you don't have the ability to avoid, and there may be something that's just a great fear in your life right now. David knew all about that. David knew what it was to cry. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. If you live long enough on this planet, you'll shed plenty of tears. That's why I tell folks, I said, every chance you get to laugh, you ought to. Because there's going to be plenty of days when the tears will come. There'll be days when your heart will be overwhelmed and sad and you won't be able to laugh. But while you can, you ought to. And let me tell you something. I'm glad David knew what it was to cry. And I said that this, when a man's born in this world, the first thing he does is cry when he gets into this world. And a little baby, when the first thing he does, it's just a cry comes forth, and we spend the rest of our days shedding tears while we're here. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of troubles, what the Bible says, and we know that to be true. And here David is talking not only about his troubles and his fears, he's talking about his crying, but he talks about the fact that he sought God, and he cried out to the Lord. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I like that. You see, that's one of the greatest discouragements the enemy uses against the child of God. He wants to make you think that nobody's listening when you pray. But David reaffirmed in the Scriptures here on a couple of occasions. He said this. He said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. There's a God tonight that is watching each one of us, and the same God, His ears are open unto the righteous cry. I thought about that. Sometimes when you're raising your kids, and I remember when mine was small, and we'd get out in a place and be several people, and you know how quickly a kid can get out of your sight, and you're just scrambling, trying to, which way did they go, and all that. Do you realize God's never had to do that with one of His children? There's never been a day that one of you, since the day you got saved by the grace of God, have ever been out of the sight of the Heavenly Father. And the Bible tells us that. David said this down there. He said in verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. And he said in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Verse 19 is where I really want to get to tonight in the message. And this verse, I'll be honest with you, there's a part of my flesh that wishes it didn't read like it does. And when I read this verse, the Bible says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, if I'd have been writing that, I'd have wanted to write it like this. Many are the afflictions of the wicked. That's me. I would have wanted to wrote that like that. But you see, the Holy Spirit knew what we needed to hear. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. In other words, some of the best people that live on planet Earth will go through many trials, many troubles, many heartaches. But I'm glad the verse didn't stop there. It said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. I pray, God, would You help us now once again, Lord, as we try to bring this message. God, would You speak to the hearts of this people. And Father, we'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. As I look here tonight, I really want to focus on verse number 19. I was studying one day on afflictions, and I was reading some things about afflictions from the Word of God. I love to read after old writers of days gone by, and I love to read quotes by those men of days gone by. And I ran upon a quote by a preacher from the 1600s. He was a Scottish Presbyterian preacher by the name of Samuel Rutherford. Matter of fact, if you read any of his writings, they're very deep. Matter of fact, I read this one quote about Charles Spurgeon said this about Rutherford. He said that Rutherford's writings were the closest thing to inspiration that you would find in human writings. That's what Spurgeon had to say about him. And everybody knows how deep Spurgeon's writings was, and he thought that much of Samuel Rutherford's writings. And as I was reading that quote that day that he said about affliction, this is what he said. He said, whenever I find myself in the cellars of affliction, I look about for the king's wine. I look for the wine bottles of the promises of God and drink from them rich draughts of vitalizing grace. Rutherford compared being in afflictions and troubles and trials, he compared it to being in a wine cellar. He said, whenever I find myself in the cellars of affliction, he said, I go to looking around for the king's wine, those promises of God. And he said, when I find them there, I drink from them rich draughts of vitalizing grace. In other words, when I'm in my troubles, when I'm in my trials and heartaches, he said, the promises of God give me the strength to make it through. I begin to think about that. I'm preaching on that subject tonight,
on looking for the king's wine in the cellars of affliction. I don't know anything about making wine. I've never been around people who do that. I never grew up in a home where people drank wine or anything like that, and I do not advocate that people do that. But I do know that I had heard this. I was studying this one day. I had heard this phrase, the wine cellar. And I got curious about that. I said, I don't know anything about making wine, and I don't know anything about the process they go through. But I said, I want to study, why is it that they call it a wine cellar, and what does it play in importance? And as I began to study, I did some research. I got on the internet, and I went to one of the large winemakers in California, and they had a website, and they had all kind of facts and things about how they make their wine, some of the most expensive wines in the world, some of the most, tasteful wines, if you will. I don't know anything about that. But as I was reading that, I saw some things they had listed about why they placed the wine in a cellar. And I saw a parallel to what happens to the child of God when we find ourselves in the troubles of life. Number one, when I was reading that website, they talked about the fact that a cellar is many times underneath the surface. It is in a low place. I saw the subterranean nature of the wine cellar. Do you realize that the work that is done in a cellar is done without the eyes of men watching it? Matter of fact, that wine that is placed in the cellar, many times it's left in that low place for a long time, and nobody sees what is taking place until one day it's brought forth as one of the most choice wines or choice things that they can bring forth. I thought about how many times in our lives has God took us into low places, and we thought they were places that God had taken us there just to punish us, or we thought we went there to die, but instead God brought us to a low place to show us something and do something that He could not do for us on the mountaintop. When I think back over my own life, preacher, I'd have to be honest, if I came to the end of the way tonight and I had to look back over my life, I'd have to say there's been some hills and there's been some valleys. And a lot of times those low places are places I did not desire to go. But if I told the truth about it at the end of the journey, I would have to say this, that it was in the low places that God did His greatest work in my life. In the places when I thought I was going to die. In the places where I thought I'd been brought to and nobody knew what I was going through, I'm glad there's a God that was watching me and a God that heard my cry, hallelujah to His name. I have people on occasion, they come up to me and they talk to me about some of the songs that I've written down through the years. And they say, oh, preacher, you're a wonderful songwriter. And I just listen to them because I'm standing there thinking, I said, yeah, you heard that song, but you wasn't there when I was in the low place and God gave it to me. Right. Right. Nobody saw what was going on in my life in the moments that I wrote some of those songs. I said, in the low place, I didn't one day get out and stick my chest out and say, I'm going to write a great song today. No, there's a lot of times I was writing to try to get the pain out of my heart. There was a lot of times I was writing because I could not feel the presence of God like I wanted to. I got news for you. You may be here in a low place tonight. Nobody may not know what you're going through. You may be in that subterranean place tonight in the cellar of affliction. Just remember this. Grab the promises of God. Grab the wine bottles of God. Hallelujah. And He'll help you in the midst of your trouble. Amen. Oh, I thought about the subterranean nature. It's in a low place. Every one of us are going to have a low place. Then I saw the strategy of the cellar. I didn't know this about the winemakers, and what they said was a wine cellar is a dark place. Matter of fact, it has to be kept dark. I didn't know that. They said that if light hits the wine while it's in the bottles, that light can negatively affect the color of the wine and even the taste. So in order for it to be developed into the best most choice wines, it has to be kept in a dark place a long time. Can I say to you, there's days of the child of God that we come into places of darkness and it don't seem like the sun will ever shine again. Many times it's when we get to the moments of our despair when we feel like we can't make it and we can't go on. But I'm glad that in the midst of the darkness there's a God that hasn't forgot where we're at. Hallelujah to His name. Oh yes, I was in a meeting in Atlanta, Georgia a few years ago. I was preaching down there and my wife was with me and we scheduled for a 3-day meeting. But something happened while we was there. Some of you remember it on the news when the ice storm hit Atlanta and shut the entire city down. I mean, you couldn't, the roads, people were abandoning cars on the interstates, and we were stuck in our hotel. I got one night of the meeting, we were stuck in the hotel, and at that point in time, I was there preaching, but my wife and I, some people we loved dearly, was going through a real trial. I'm talking about it was one of those times we just carried a heaviness on our heart. And we did a lot of weeping in those days. And that night, we were just both brokenhearted over a situation we couldn't fix. We couldn't change it. And we were there, and finally my wife went to sleep. And I was hurting so bad that night on the inside. I said, Lord, I can't stand this. So I didn't want to wake my wife up. I got up and I went into the restroom area of the motel at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was sitting there, my heart was broken, trying to pray, and couldn't feel like God was anywhere around. I was in the darkness. I couldn't see Him. I couldn't feel Him. And a lot of times, whenever I'm going through things, if I'll write, it just helps me. It's therapeutic. And that night, I was hurting so bad on the inside, I didn't even know if I could write anything. I wasn't trying to write a song, to be honest with you. But as I sat there that night, I was trying to pray. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit says, I said, Lord, I don't know what to write. And the Holy Spirit says, why don't you write how you feel? And as I sat there, I had to think about how to put into words how I was feeling at that moment. And as I sat there, all of a sudden it just seemed like as I started to write, it's almost like I was letting the pain out of my heart flow through my pen. And I wrote these words, when the hurt goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known. Yeah. When you're standing in your darkest trial and it seems as though you're standing all alone. When the tears fall down like bitter rain and you're wondering if the sun will shine again. In the midst of disappointment, look around, you'll find a faithful friend. He's walked through my darkest valleys, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. And when my heart had stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience, I found a faithful friend. I'm glad, praise God, in the darkest days of your life, when it seems like the sun won't shine again, I'm glad somewhere in the shadows you'll find Jesus, amen. He is a friend, hallelujah. Whenever you find yourself in the cellar of affliction, in the place of darkness, just know this, He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Oh yeah, there's the strategy of the cellar. There's the darkness. When I thought about as I studied that, there's the subterranean nature. It's in a low place. And then I saw the stability of the cellar. As I was reading about them producing that wine, they said not only does the wine cellar have to be a dark place, but it has to be a place of constant temperature. Can't be any fluctuation. Can't be real warm one day and cool the next. In other words, there has to be a stable atmosphere for that wine to be produced and made what it is. I thought about in a world where there is no stability. Matter of fact, in a world that's turned upside down, seems like, have you ever seen a day like we're seeing even in our own nation? I'm going to tell you something right now. You turn on the news and it's enough to depress you. We're living in a world where anger and violence and all these things are happening. Sometimes it'll get you to the place of despair. The things we've trusted in, it seems like we can no longer trust in them. But I'm glad there is a place. I'm glad there's a Savior tonight, that He is a constant tonight. Amen. Boy, I tell you, sometimes people could put confidence in their health. And that if you've got great health, that's a wonderful thing. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news. If you live long enough on this planet, your health won't always be well. You may put confidence in your finances and your job and your career. And if you've got a great one of that and you've got great financial stability, then that's a wonderful thing. And I'm happy for you. But there's going to come a time when all the money you got ain't going to be able to buy you out of your need. Oh, there's a lot of times the things that we've trusted in, the things that we've looked to, will fail us at some point. But hallelujah, I'm glad it's when our finances are all gone and our health has failed us. I'm telling you, we're going to find our real stability is in the Rock of Ages. Hallelujah. I'm glad when everything's gone, when the bottoms fell out and you don't know which way to go, I'm glad Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that we serve a Savior? He is our stability tonight. In a world that's rocking and reeling tonight, in a world that's losing their mind, I'm glad we're on a solid rock tonight. Hallelujah to His name. Oh yeah. He's God when you got money, and He's God when you ain't got none. He's God when your health's well, and then when you got more problems you can shake a stick at, He's still God. I'm glad He is my rock. There's been a lot of troubles in life. I couldn't make it through it without Him. There's been a lot of time friends let me down. Those I love failed me. But hallelujah, I'm telling you about one tonight. Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, I see the stability of the seller. I see the strategy. When you think about that stability, do you realize when the bottom has fallen out is when you'll really find out what you got? I had a preacher friend. He lived in Rayford, North Carolina. He was in his 40s, early 40s. His daddy was a deacon in my church. And this young preacher, he loved me. He loved my family's music. And his name was Robbie. And several years ago now, it's probably been 8 or 10 years ago now, I was at home on Christmas Eve with my family. And my phone rang, and when it rang, it was my deacon's number on the caller ID, and I thought that was odd that they was calling me on Christmas Eve night. And when I picked it up, it was my deacon's daughter on the line, and she said, "Preacher, I hate to bother you on Christmas Eve, but says we just got a call." And they said, "Robbie got sick this evening," and said, "Preacher, they've flown him down to Durham. They've flown him down there. They don't know what happened." They said he was talking to some friends that he worked with and said he had been having a headache all day and said he just collapsed, and they think he's had a brain aneurysm. And said, "We're packing our bags right now to go down to Durham to see." And I said, "Well," I said, "you let me know as quick as you get there and see what's going on. You call me and you tell me what's going on." And I waited. I never heard anything that night. They made the trip down to Durham. And about 10 o'clock on Christmas morning, my phone rang, and it was this deacon's daughter again. She said, "Preacher, I just wanted to call you this morning." Said, "We got down here and said the doctors have said there's no brain activity, and said we've made the decision we're going to unplug Robbie." I said, "You've got to be kidding me." She said, "No, preacher, he's gone." And my heart was overwhelmed. I could not understand. You see, I can't figure those things out. If you could explain that to me, why God would take that young preacher, I don't know. But I do know this: God's ways are right. God's ways are right. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. So God don't make no mistakes. But I can't understand it in my mind. And they said, "Preacher, would you help in the funeral?" Said, "Robbie loved you." I said, I'd be happy to. So I made the trip down to Rayford. And he had an older pastor down there that he was in the church with and had the service. And, of course, Robbie was married, had his wife. And matter of fact, they had a son. And the son was married and had a little grandson, a little blonde-haired guy. I thought about you, little grandbabies here, kind of reminded me of that. And They said, the preacher said, they're going to bury him back up. And matter of fact, he's buried in our family cemetery up here in Mountain City. And said, but the pastor can't make that trip. Will you do the graveside? I said, I'd be happy to. And we gathered there on the hillside right after Christmas there. And the cemetery is full of people. A lot of his family's in my church. And be honest with you, none of us had the answers why this happened. I mean, you don't want to, this is just something no family wants to ever have to go through. And we were standing there beside the graveside. I picked out my scripture I was going to read, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and there was a song I had written years ago that I knew Robbie loved it, and the Lord touched my heart, and I looked at my wife and daughter. I said, I feel like we need to sing a little bit, and I wrote a song called Somewhere the Birds Are Singing, and they said, all right, said, we'll do that. And so I read my scripture, and I said my few words, and of course, his wife was sitting there, and son was sitting beside her, and his wife, and the little blonde-haired grandson, looked like he's about 3 years old maybe, was sitting there on his mama's lap just staring at his papa's casket. He didn't understand what was going on. And all of a sudden, we was there, and I said, folks, I said, Lord's touched my heart. We're going to sing a little bit of a song. And we begin to sing that song. Somewhere the birds are singing. Somewhere the bells are ringing. Somewhere the saints of God are free forevermore. Somewhere they've said their last goodbye. Somewhere no tear can dim their eye. I'm longing for that place, that land somewhere. As we sang that, of course, folks were weeping in the cemetery. I said my final prayer, and I did as I normally do. I walked through the tent, and I shook hands with his dear wife and tried to comfort her. I shook hands with his son and his wife, tried to comfort them the best I could. And as I walked out the other side of the tent, something happened. I've never experienced anything like this in all the years I've been in the ministry. I've done a lot of graveside services, but I've never experienced anything like this. That little blonde-haired grandson that was sitting on his mama's lap heard us sing that song, and he had heard his papa sing it with his guitar, and he had sung it so much that little boy had it memorized. And I guess when we sang it, it triggered it in his mind. And all of a sudden, I heard a little voice start singing out loud in the cemetery. Somewhere the buds are singing. Somewhere the bells are winging. And that little boy sat there, and I bet he sung for 5 minutes. Nobody moved. I mean, nobody. I'm talking about the funeral home guys were weeping. I mean, everybody in the graveyard's weeping. And I thought about, here's a family. They're in the darkest place you'll ever go to in life, in a place you don't know why it's happened. You can't figure it out. And even there at the darkest place in the cellar of affliction, there's the promise that somewhere the birds are singing. Somewhere the bells are ringing. Somewhere the saints of God are free forevermore. I'm glad there's a land that's fairer than day. Hallelujah. Child of God. Hallelujah to His name. There's the stability you find. You see, they was there at a cold graveside, but their stability was anchored in a land that's fairer than day. Hallelujah. Oh yes, there's the stability. There's the stability aspect of the cellar. There's the subterranean nature aspect. There's the strategy. And then I found this out about the wine cellar. There's the silence of the wine cellar. I did not know this. This was fascinating to me. But they said a wine cellar has to be a place where there's no noise in it. It has to be completely silent in a wine cellar. You say, well, why is that, preacher? This is what they said on that website as I read this. They said that the vibrations that create noise when we hear sound in our ear, it's because there's been vibrations that have come through the air. They said if there's noises in there, it'll cause vibrations in the wine, and it will stir up bitter sediments in it. So in other words, for it to turn into the sweetest of wines, it not only has to be left in a dark place, but it has to be left in a place of total silence. Boy, I'm going to tell you something right now. The hardest place you'll ever get to as a child of God is when you can't hear God say nothing. When He's left you there, you're in your cellar of affliction, and you've prayed and you've cried and you ain't heard a thing from God, boy, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. It's those times you wonder, God, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a situation I was telling you about. I wrote that one song. It was 2 years later, and I was still praying about it, still asking God, still begging God. God, but I'll be honest with you, I was done on the other side of this thing, and I was to the point of frustration. I went out one day to my place of prayer, and I talked to God just like I talked to you, like my friend, because He is my friend. And I said, God, I don't understand. I said, why in the world you've not answered my prayer? I said, I've not been asking you for anything bad. I've been asking you for something good that would be a blessing to people that I love. And I said, God, I cannot understand. I'm running all over the country trying to do your will. And God, for the last 2 years, you ain't done nothing about answering my prayer. And about the time I said that, the Holy Ghost said, you're right. I haven't answered your prayer the way you've prayed it. But you're badly mistaken if you think I haven't done anything in the last 2 years. And I said in my uplifted heart, I said, what in the world you done, God? You've not done, I ain't seen you do nothing. And about that time, the Holy Ghost said, boy, you'll look back over your shoulder. For 2 years, through the deepest valley of your life, it was my grace that carried you every step of the way. I said, God, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry, God, you're right. I couldn't have been, I'd have been dead had it not been for your grace. And I went back in the house and I wrote that little old song. There are many days that I have prayed through my trials here, waiting for an answer, hoping through my tears. And in my disappointment, Lord, I could not see your face. I couldn't thank you for the answer, but Lord, I'll thank you for the grace. I'll thank you for the grace you give just to go another mile. I'll thank you for the strength I feel as I face this bitter trial. Though this valley seems so long that I'll never leave this place, when I can't thank you for the answer, Lord, I'll thank you for the grace. I'm glad there's a God that when we can't thank Him for the answer, when it don't work the way we want it to, I'm glad His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah to His name. Even when you can't see Him doing nothing, just remember this, it's His grace that's carrying you through the trials. I see the silence of the cellar. And then last of all, there was one other aspect of the cellar that they talked about. I see the sheltering aspect of the cellar. What do you mean by that, preacher? I didn't know this, but they said that when they put the wine in the bottles, they put a cork in it, and that cork allows the wine to breathe. And they said that in a wine cellar, it can't be a place that has any strong odors in it, because if you laid just a bag of onions in a wine cellar, some of the wine would come out with the tinge of onions, even though it has no onions in it, because it would breathe that aroma through the cork, and it would tinge it. It would flavor it another flavor if you had any strong aroma. I got to thinking, that's exactly what the enemy tries to do to all of us many times in our struggles and our trials. When we go through a brokenness in our life, or when we go through a low spot, the enemy wants to put a flavor on us. And He wants us to carry it the rest of our days. But I'm glad in the midst of the cellars of affliction, when you're broken and your heart is broken in a million pieces, I'm glad there's a sheltering aspect that God said, I know you're broken, and I know you're down, and I know you're discouraged, but I got news for you. You're going to come out on the other side of this thing, and when you come out, you're not going to carry the flavor that the enemy's tried to put on you, but you're going to come out smelling like the rose of Sharon on the other side of your trial. I'm glad to tell you tonight, there's a God that will shelter us in the times of trouble. Oh, I'm glad David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord delivered him out of all of his troubles. I don't know about you, but I'm glad there's a God who's given me His promises tonight, that in the midst of the afflictions of life, those many afflictions that He talked about, I'm glad there's a God, hallelujah, that'll put a hedge about us, and He'll help us in the trials of life. Thought about old Rutherford. He said, whenever I find myself in the cellars of affliction, he said, I just go about looking for the king's wine. I've seen them on TV, and they'll bring those in those fancy restaurants. They'll bring it to the waiter. He'll say, now this is a certain year wine, and it's got a fancy name. I could imagine old Rutherford in the cellar, and he's there in his affliction, and he says, Lord, there's a bottle over there. What's that say on that? And I could imagine he pulls it up, and he says, praise God, I believe I'd like to take a drink of this. If thou canst believe. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, here's a bottle. What's this bottle over here? What's this say? Oh, hallelujah. I believe I'd like to take a taste of that sufficient grace. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. About that time, he says, over here's one. What's this one? And he pulls it down and he says, somebody get a glass. Fullness of joy. Hallelujah. I'm glad we serve a God. Amen. I'm glad we serve a God that in the midst of the cellars of affliction, I'm glad He'll be there with us as His children. I don't know what you might be going through tonight. Somebody you love may be in a cellar of affliction tonight. Just know this, there's a God. That's where you're going to find where your stability is. That's where you're going to find that even in the dark times, He's there with you. That's where you're going to find that sheltering, that just like a mother hen just hovers over her chicks. The sweet Holy Ghost is going to watch over you. I pray God will help you tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for what You've done for us. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace. I pray God, would You touch this people now and help them tonight with this message. Lord, speak to every heart for that one that might have a need tonight, I pray. God, would You help them? Lord, maybe somebody here, and Lord, they've been praying for something a long time, and it don't seem like You've done nothing. God, would You help them tonight to realize that You are working? Would You help them to realize that tonight, Lord? And I pray, God, You'd meet our needs according to Your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, let's stand, and I ask our ladies to come, if they would, and get a song to play tonight on the invitation. I want to ask you tonight if God has spoken to you. You might be here, as I've already said. You may have been praying for something a long time. You've been so discouraged. You just didn't feel like God's a hearing you. You didn't feel like God's a doing nothing. Well, I got news for you. David told us. He said, the ears of the Lord are open to the righteous. He said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Well, I got news for you. He's hearing you tonight. He's working on His timetable tonight. Maybe you've got a burden tonight on your heart, a heavy load that you can't hardly bear. Then tonight I just want you to bring it to this altar. Just step out like this one's come. A couple more have come. I want to ask you tonight, have you got something you need to bring to God tonight? Have you been in that place that seemed like the cellar of affliction? And seemed like the days were pretty dark. You couldn't understand why God had you there, what He was doing, and boy, I tell you, there's been a lot of times you just wanted to cry out and say, God, have You forgot where I'm at? Well, I'm glad to tell you tonight, He hasn't forgot you tonight. He sent a message for you tonight. He wants you to know that He loves you tonight. He wants you to know that He cares. And boy, I tell you, most of all, He wants you to feel His grace tonight that's carrying you, lifting you in the darkest days of your life. I wonder how many more say, preacher, I want to come. Maybe you've got somebody on your heart tonight that's in a real fiery trial tonight. Somebody you love that's in the valley, they're in the cellar of affliction tonight. You may want to come and represent them here tonight, here in this altar. Just come call their name out to God. Oh, it may be, you say, preacher, I've prayed and it don't seem like nothing's happening. Just remember this, God's hearing every one of those prayers. God's working behind the scenes. You don't even know. We can't even see. There's a God that cares tonight. I wonder how many more. That's right. You come on tonight. God's speaking to your heart. You come tonight. Let God help you in this service. Sweet presence of the Holy Ghost is here tonight. He wants to help us tonight. Oh, if you're here tonight and you're not right with him, you don't know for sure if you're saved, boy, tonight it'd be a good night for you to give in and give it to God and let God help you tonight. I wonder how many more tonight. Anybody else? You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I got some needs in my life. I have some needs, preacher. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Anybody? Waiting just a moment. They're playing while these are praying. I want to ask you tonight, if you are there and you say, I haven't come, preacher, but I do have need of prayer tonight. Would you pray for me? Anybody? I see that. Thank you. I see that. God bless you. Thank you. I see that. Anybody else tonight? Lift your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Lift your hand. Take it right back down. Anybody else tonight? I see that. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else tonight? Anyone else? Anyone else? Lift your hand if you need prayer tonight. We're going to pray for you. I see that. God bless you. Anyone else? Lift your hand. Take it right back down. Let God help you tonight. Oh, yes. Father, we thank you for what you've done. I pray now, Lord, that you'd help us in this meeting, Lord, in this time of invitation. Bless the good pastor as he comes in just a moment, God. Lord, you'd do a work in the hearts of this people. Father, thank you for how you've helped us tonight. I pray now that you take the message to the hearts of each one. Lord, I pray for these that are here on the altar. Lord, some of them carrying heavy loads. Lord, shedding tears. I pray, God, would you help them to feel your grace tonight? Would you help them to feel that sheltering, God, that you want to do in their life? And Lord, meet their need, I pray, through this trial. And God, we're going to ask you to help us now. We're going to ask you, Lord, to be with us. Touch us, God, by your grace. Father, we're going to thank you for all you do. Yes, Lord.